हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम यच्छन्दसाम ऋषभो विश्वरूपः
ओम
यच्छन्दसाम ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोभ्योऽध्यमृतात् छन्दोभ्योऽध्यमृतात् संबभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया स्पृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासम् शरीरं मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्याम् भूरिविश्रुवम् ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ
ॐ
मेधा देवी जुषमाणान आगात् विश्वाची भद्रा सुमनस्य माना त्वया जुष्टानुदमाना दुरुक्तान् बृहद्वदेम विदथे सुवेराः त्वया जुष्ट ऋषिर्भवति देवित्वया ब्रह्मागत श्रीरुतत्वया त्वया जुष्ट ऋषिर्भवति देवित्वया ब्रह्मागत श्रीरुतत्वया त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रम् विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्वद्रविणो न मेधे त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रम् विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्वद्रविणो न मेधे मेधाम् इन्द्रो ददातु मेधाम् देवी सरस्वती
मेधाम्
इन्द्रो ददातु
मेधाम्
इन्द्रो ददातु मेधां देवी सरस्वती
मेधां देवी सरस्वती
मेधां मे अश्विनावुभावादत्ताम्
अश्विनावुभावादत्ताम्
पुष्करस्रजा अप्सरासु च या मेधा
अप्सरासु च या मेधा
अप्सरासु च या मेधा
अप्सरासु च या मेधा
गन्धर्वेषु च यन्मनः
गन्धर्वेषु च यन्मनः
गन्धर्वेषु च यन्मनः
गन्धर्वेषु च यन्मनः
दैवी मेधा
दैवी मेधा
सरस्वती
सरस्वती
सामां मेधा
सामां मेधा
सुरभिर्जुषताम्
सुरभिर्जुषताम्
आमां मेधा
आमां मेधा
सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा
सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा
हिरण्यवर्णा
हिरण्यवर्णा
जगति जगम्या
जगति जगम्या
ऊर्जस्वती
ऊर्जस्वती
पयसा
पयसा
पिन्वमाना
पिन्वमाना
सामां मेधा
सामां मेधा
सुरभिर्जुषताम्
सुरभिर्जुषताम्
आमां मेधा
आमां मेधा
सुरभिर् सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा
विश्वरूपा
हिरण्यवर्णा
हिरण्यवर्णा
जगति जगम्या
जगति जगम्या
ऊर्जस्वती
ऊर्जस्वती
पयसा
पयसा
पिन्वमाना
पिन्वमाना
सामां मेधा
सामां मेधा
सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम्
सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम्
मयि मेधाम्
मयि मेधाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि अग्निस्तेजो
मयि अग्निस्तेजो
दधातु
दधातु
मयि मेधाम्
मयि मेधाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि इन्द्र
मयीन्द्र
इन्द्रियं दधातु
इन्द्रियं ददातु
मयि मेधाम्
मयि मेधाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि प्रजाम्
मयि सूर्यो
मयि सूर्यो
भ्राजो दधातु
भ्राजो ददातु
शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
मूकं करोति वाचालम्
मूकं करोति वाचालम्
पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम्
पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम्
पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் க்ருபாதமஹம் வந்தே யத் க்ருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம்
பரமானந்த மாதவம்.
We have Madhava here today. He is Madhava. Go Madhava. So one day, I don't know whether I have told the meaning of this verse earlier or not. Haven't I told? Anyway, one day, you know this Atmanepadam, one day, Aham one day. So come one day, who do I bow to? Madhavam Vande. Who is Madhavaha? The Lord. Why do we call there's so many words which mean the word which mean the Lord, and one of the words which mean the Lord is Madhavaha, one of the defining words of the Lord. Because Ma means all wealth, Ma means Lakshmi, Ma means the whole Jagat, Aishwaryam. Ishwarasya idam, Ishwarasya sambandham, Ishwara sambandham, anything pertaining to Ishwara is Aishwaryam. The whole prapanchaha is Aishwaryam, wealth. And that is Ma, Lakshmi. And Dhavaha means husband, the owner, the possessor. The one who, the possessor, the owner, one who is endowed with the whole Jagat as his own, is Madhavaha. So that is Jagat Madhava. So Madhavam Vande, about to the Lord of the universe, Madhava. And who is he? Paramananda Madhavaha. He is not simply, he is manifest as the Jagat, he is also of the nature of absolute joy, the limitlessness. Who is of the nature of limitless happiness? Parama Ananda Madhavam Aham Vande. And who is this Lord? Okay, whose grace? Yat Krupa. Yasya Bhagavataha Paramananda Madhavasya Krupa Mukam Vachalam Karoti. The Mukaha, the dumb person is there and he can become eloquent. The dumb has to become eloquent, which is impossible. What is impossible is made possible if there is grace. Again, I know you want to ask, what do we mean by grace? But we'll leave for next class. We'll wait for third chapter to talk about the grace. So, Yasya Krupa, whose Krupa makes the dumb person eloquent? Who Yasya Krupa, Mukham Vachalam Karoti. Vachalaha is the eloquent person. And Yasya Krupa, Pangum, Girim Langhayate, Pangu who is the lame person, Langhate, actually, just he climbs, Langhayate, he does not, the Mukha, the Pangu, the lame person cannot climb himself, cannot scale, but somebody else can make him scale. And so Bhagavan's grace can make a lame person scale the mountain. Who is this person? Lame person. So Yasya Krupa Pangum Girim Langhayate, Yasya Krupa Mukham Vachalam Karoti, Tam Paramananda Madhavam Aham Vande. One whose grace makes the lame scale the mountain, one whose grace makes the dumb person eloquent, him, the Lord, who is manifest as the whole, the Lord of the universe, who is of absolutely the nature of limitless joy, him I bow to. So nice name, isn't it? Your name. Okay.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
श्री भगवानुवाच अशोच्यान् अन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यान्
அன்வசோச்சஸ்த்வம்
அன்வசோச்சஸ்த்வம்
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச
பாஷசே
பாஷசே
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச பாஷசே
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச
பாஷசே கதாசோன்
கதாசோன்
அகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
அகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
கதாசோனகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
கதாசோனகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
நானுஷோசந்தி பண்டிதாஹ
நானுஷோசந்தி
பண்டிதாஹ அசோச்சியான் அன்வசோச்சஸ்த்வம்
அன்வசோச்சஸ்த்வம்
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச பாஷசே
ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச
பாஷசே கதாசோனகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
கதாசோனகதாசோம்ஸ்ச
நானுஷோசந்தி பண்டிதாஹ
நானுஷோசந்தி
பண்டிதாஹ
நத்வேவாஹம்
நத்வேவாஹம் ஜாதுநாசம்
ஜாதுநாசம்
நத்வேவாஹம் ஜாதுநாசம்
நத்வேவாஹம்
ஜாதுநாசம் நத்வம் நேமே
நத்வம்
நேமே ஜனாதிபாஹ
ஜனாதிபாஹ
நசைவ ந பவிஷ்யாமஹ நசைவ ந பவிஷ்யாமஹ சர்வே வயமதஃ பரம்
சர்வே
வயமதஃ பரம் சர்வே
சர்வே
வயமதஃ பரம்
வயமதஃ பரம்
I will make you recite more. I just want to just to have a feel of Sadhguru Bhagavad Gita. I just want to chant the verses. When it's touched Vashram, then we won't have time to chant. Anyway, so these verses, Bhagavan started from 11th verse, 11th to 11th verse onwards, till the 30th verse, we have the unfoldment of the nature of the self. But the nature of the self, Atma Swarupam, is revealed in these 20 verses, from the 11th to the 30th. And last class we saw, why did Krishna start revealing, talking about the nature of the self? Why should he start? That was the first question raised. Then the answer was given, because one has to understand the nature of the self. Krishna started revealing the nature of the self because there's a need, dire need for us to understand the nature of the self. Why should we know the nature of the self? Because ignorance of the nature of the self results in ultimately bondage, which is sorrow, which is samsaraha. So to dispel the ignorance of the self, we need to know what the self is. To know the self, nature of the self has to be revealed. Therefore Krishna started revealing the nature of the self. And as an introduction, I said, the samsaraha, the life of transmigration involving birth, death, and in between birth and death, all the pains and pleasures one goes through as prarabdha, all these things are there. And this samsara, you know, the freedom from this samsara is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of this self. And this, because we also saw how self-ignorance, atma ajnanat eva atmana adhyasaha. No, because of ignorance itself sin, adhyasa. And adhyasa itself sin, adhyaropa. Because of the adhyaropa, this erroneous notion you have with yourself, no? That notion. And this wrong notion one has about oneself is actually the problem. No, the wrong notion. And the notion is that I am the smallness, I am small, I am insignificant. These notions are there. Because of these notions, actually, that is where actually the disturbance begins. The disturbance now begins with this notion of oneself being small, insignificant and insecure. So as a result of that, there is a fundamental desire of wanting to be happy, wanting to live long happily. That desire arises, and that desire results in all of their desires, and because the fulfillment of desires result in new desires, or the unfulfillment of the desires result in anger, etc., or hurt and guilt, or depression, anger, etc. Anyway, there is which in fact becomes in fact sorrow. Therefore, this ultimately how ignorance is the cause of sorrow. Therefore, this ajnanam, which is the mula karanam for samsara, has to be dispelled. Therefore, the self, the nature of the self is revealed from the 11th verse. You saw that. Here, Krishna uses the word shokaha and mohaha. Okay? Shoka moha. Why shokaha? Shokaha is in fact, shokaha is noun and the shochanam is, okay, also noun. And we saw that anyway. The shochate, shuch is the dhatuhu there. Shochate grieves. And the shokaha grief. Shocharam grieving. So we have this. And no, actually, the shoka. And if where is shoka? Where there is moha, definitely. Where there is ajnanam, there is adhyasa, adhyaropa. There is also adhyasaha, adhyaropa is because of the mohaha. Where there is moha, definitely there is shoka. You can't say shoka. In the absence of moha, there cannot be shoka. Where there is moha, definitely there is shokaha. So if the shoka has to go, the moha has to definitely go. The moha has to go, for the elimination of the moha, jnanam is the only means. Therefore, Krishna started revealing the nature of this self. But there, it was made very clear, is the ignorance of the self, no? Which causes sorrow, is the knowledge of the self which will free one from sorrow. Because the freedom is not, the sorrow does not really cause a problem at all. The sorrow doesn't affect a person. The sorrow can be there, still one can remain unaffected by sorrow. Like how? See, there is light, there are so many things are there. The books are there, the shelf is there, the cupboard is there, doors are there, windows are there, I'm sitting here, the table is there, therefore I'm affected by the table. Can you say this? It doesn't sound illogical, improper. I'm sitting here, there is light, I'm sitting here, okay, in the light I see everything, and there is table, okay, which also comes to light, and because there is table, it affects me. Can you say that? I can be there, I can understand as I am here, everything else is there. Still I can remain unaffected. Similarly, according to Shastra, the Shastra says, please listen carefully, sorrow, pain, the grief, different degrees of sadness, okay, the hurt, the guilt, all these things can be there, but still they can remain unaffecting. They do not affect you. Why? When? They'll affect you as long as you do not know what happiness is. Once you know what happiness is, they will all resolve. You can allow them to be there as you can allow other things which come to light, the light, you can see them, you can enjoy them, you can allow them to be there, you can still be there without being affected by them. So all it is that you need is, it is the ignorance of happiness, ignorance of what happiness is really, which makes you feel affected by something called different states of mind called sorrow, pain, etc. Okay? Therefore, here, I'm putting it differently today. Is it clear? Therefore, you need to know what happiness is. And to know what happiness is, happiness has to be understood as the nature of the self. Therefore, Bhagavan, it is the ignorance of what happiness is the cause for sorrow. The sorrow is because sorrow affects you because you do not know what happiness is. And happiness is limitlessness, and limitlessness is the nature of the self. To understand what happiness is, to understand what limitlessness is, you need to understand what the self is. Therefore, it is the knowledge of the self which will help you understand what happiness is, which in the presence of which all the sorrows, everything else will be resolved in that happiness. You don't drive away the sorrow, understand? Once you understand what happiness is, then afterwards you drive away the sorrow. No. You don't drive away anything. Nothing is being driven away here. You will see the sorrow, the sadness, the grief, the anger, all the agitations, all the negative tendencies such as jealousy, hatred, etc. All of them, the hurt, guilt, all these things will be resolved in discovering what happiness is in the wake of knowledge of what the self is. Therefore, it is the Atma Jnanam which causes the sorrow and problem. It is the self knowledge is the only means. Therefore, the nature of the self is started. Revealed in the 11th verse. But there, it is only, now all that you need is only the jnanam, knowledge. Then the objection was raised. What is the objection? It is not the only knowledge. Why should we not say jnana karmas jnanam eva mokshasya sadhanam na jnana karma samuchayaha eva mokshasya sadhanam bhavati. It is the synthesis of karma and knowledge becomes the means for moksha. It is not the mere knowledge. One Purapakshi comes and he raises this objection. It's not the only knowledge. We also need karma with knowledge for moksha. Performance of duties along with the pursuit of knowledge, accomplishment of knowledge is the means for moksha. That is the thing. And he also quotes all other verses from Bhagavad Gita. There are many, the whole Bhagavad Gita has lot of verses where Krishna emphasizes the importance of doing one's duties. Wherever Krishna talks about the karma yoga, he highlights the importance of, in fact the whole Gita talks about the necessity and the importance of doing one's duties and doing the actions, karma. So he quotes all these verses, karman yevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbohu ma te sangostu karmani kuru karmeva tasmatum kuru karmeva tasma. All these verses, one of the other, so many verses he quotes. I am not quoting, okay, in Vashan, Purubakshi quotes. So I'm stopping here. All the verses he quotes, these are all the verses. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna talks about these verses. Bhagavan Krishna has taught these verses to Arjuna. All these verses talk about the importance of doing karma. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita Shastram does not say jnanam is the only means for moksha. Karma with jnanam, becomes the jnanam with the performance of karma becomes means for moksha. Therefore, it is not only the jnanam. That was the Purupakshi's objection. Then the answer was given. That is not true. It was given. And in between he also said, because to make his argument very flowery and nice, he also said, you know, because Arjuna was asked to fight against adharma, and fighting against adharma, fighting, involving himself in battle, involves in hinsa, killing the enemies, bloodshed. Therefore, though we shouldn't think that Shastram encourages one, no, Shastram is for encouraging adharma. All those things, no, we shouldn't think. So anyway, Bhagavan himself says, Jnanam has to be pursued with the performance of knowledge. Therefore, no, Jnanam, it one can attain moksha. Then the answer was given, that is not true. It's because, why that's not true? Krishna talks about two things. Krishna talks about two lifestyles. If both knowledge and karma, the synthesis of knowledge and karma together constitute the means for moksha, then Krishna wouldn't have talked about the two lifestyles. Vibhaga vachanam no anupapannam syat. It would have been inappropriate. It would have been proper. Then he explains. So the Purapakshi asked the question. Is it okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Purapakshi was raised the objection. Then the Siddhanti comes. Purapakshaha means objection. Okay? Purapakshaha, always the person who raises the objection. Purapakshi. And the Siddhanti, no, Siddhanta means how the objection is refuted by giving right answer. Siddhanti comes. The Siddhanta. What does Siddhanti say here? He says, listen here. I'm repeating what I have been said before. Okay. I will make it very clear. Okay, last class I read a lot of Sanskritam and made you give you the points today so I can go ahead with that. So he says here, see from this 11th to 30th, the second chapter, which you are going to see, you have not started seeing what it is. Okay, the 20 verses which reveal the nature of self, okay, consisting of 20 verses which reveal the nature of the self, okay, is said to be Sankhyam. Sankhyam means nature of the self. It is Sankhyam. And being endowed with the knowledge of the Sankhyam is called Sankhya Buddhihi. Okay. What is Sankhyam? No, I heard Sankhyam, Sankhya Buddhihi, and Sankhya. You have to understand these three things. The section, the portion consisting of 20 verses from 11th to the 30th, which reveal the nature of the self, is called Sankhyam. The nature of the self is Sankhyam. Okay? Then the knowledge of the Sankhyam, the knowledge of the nature of the self, is called Sankhya Buddhihi. And the one whose mind is endowed with the knowledge of the Sankhyam, the nature of the self, is Sankhyaha. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Sankhyaha. The Sankhya, we can say, is supposed to, okay, the other way is known as Sannyasi. Sanyastaha. Sankhyaha. So he, Shankaracharya says here, it is Sankhyanam Uchitam Bhavati. This, the nature of the self revealed in the Sankhyam, okay, as Sankhyam, is appropriate for sannyasis. Why? Because they have the contemplative, they are of contemplative disposition, they can dwell upon the nature of the self. So the Sankhya, the sannyasi is supposed to be the one whose end is moksha. Please listen very carefully. Whose end is moksha, who knows the knowledge of the self is the only means for moksha, who knows the knowledge and moksha being identical, therefore for whom the knowledge of the self itself becomes the ultimate end, therefore knows the value of knowledge, the one who knows, one who, therefore, one who has understood the limitations of other pursuits such as artha kama dharma, therefore one whose passion only for knowledge, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one who has understood the nature of the self as unfolded in the shastram, thereby one who is able to dwell upon the nature of the self constantly, okay, and he is Sankhyaha. He has understood the nature of the self and he is able to dwell upon the nature of the self. Okay, Sankhyaha. And for him, in his understanding, there is the whole jagat is manifestation of the only reality. For him, the duality, plurality, multiplicity is in fact empirically real. In his understanding, the oneness of reality is absolutely real. Non-duality for him is the reality, absolutely real. And such a person is Sankhyaha. Okay? And there is also something called Yogaha. Now come to what is Yogaha. So living Allah. So the Yogaha means accepting the fact of the whole jagat being the manifestation of only reality. And thereby, but still an understanding the self is definitely different from the body, means complex. And it is very important, one who has yet to understand the nature of the self, and one who has yet to understand the nature of the self, thereafter one has to dwell upon the nature of the self, for which one has to have the contemplative disposition. One who has not yet gained the contemplative disposition, okay, such a person is ordained to live a life of Karma Yoga. So who is a Karma Yogi? Next is this other lifestyle. First is Sannyasi lifestyle. Suppose the Sannyasi, those who cannot dwell upon the nature of the self, those who have yet to understand the self, those who do not have that mental steadiness to be able to contemplate upon the nature of the self, they have to live a life of Karma Yoga. This is another lifestyle, a second lifestyle. Okay, so this Karma Yoga lifestyle, wherein who is a Karma Yogi? Karma Yogi also moksha is the ultimate end. Karma Yogi also knows the knowledge is the only means for moksha. Karma Yogi also knows the moksha, jnanam and moksha are identical. Karma Yogi also is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But what the difference is, the Karma Yogi has yet to understand the nature of the self clearly, and he has yet to make efforts to be able to be contemplative. He is a Karma Yogi. And so for that he knows, in order to be pure mentally, to be able to contemplative, and he lives his life, he has all obligated duties, all his actions, is it that his actions are governed by the knowledge of dharma and adharma. His actions are governed by dharma. He has a certain attitude towards everything that comes in life, and he has a certain attitude which is yogaha. This is yogaha, and this knowledge of yogaha, okay, is yoga buddhihi. And one who lives a life of karma yoga, being endowed with knowledge of what karma yoga is, he is a karma yogi. These are the two lifestyles prescribed by Krishna in the Shastra, not in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, even the Vedanta, Veda, we have Pravritti Margaha, Nivritti Margaha, two lifestyles. Okay, for the mature who are contemplative, the Nivritti Margaha, for those who have yet to become mature, who have yet to become contemplative, for them, Pravritti Margaha. So here, nobody is considered inferior, nobody is considered superior, no lifestyle is considered inferior, no lifestyle is considered superior. One is preparing for the other. So Karma Yoga lifestyle is supposed to prepare the human mind for the Jnana Yoga lifestyle or Sannyasa lifestyle. Okay, the Karma Yogi is supposed to become a Sankhyaha in due course of time. Therefore, one is the therefore karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. The karma, any karma, any action performed without the attitude, without the purusharth nischaya, there is no karma yogi, there is no yoga. If the purusha, please I make it very clear. If the purusharthan nischeha is not there, if the moksha is not the end, knowledge of the self is not the end, then there is no yoga at all. There is only karma. Okay, only karma. There is no yoga. Nothing about yoga. About what is yoga? The end is not there. Where is yoga? So here, that's why we have to say karma yogi and a sannyasi. Okay, both. For both of them, end is the same, mokshaha. End is the knowledge of the self. And one has understood the nature of the self, one is contemplative upon the nature of the self to make it, to ascertain that. And then still the jnana is incomplete there, with the sannyasi also. And here, whereas for a karma yogi, he has yet to understand the nature of the self clearly. He has to become contemplative. For that, to get that contemplative disposition, to be pure mentally, and he has to live a life of karma yoga, certain attitude. Only then all that one does becomes yoga, preparatory. Now this is his two lifestyles. One precedes the other. Jnana karma yoga, precedes the jnana yoga. Therefore, two lifestyles have been discussed. Therefore, if both karma and knowledge together now become the means for moksha, why should Bhagavan talk about two lifestyles? Understand? No. Therefore, karma is not required for moksha. All that is required is jnanam alone is the means for moksha. But without the preparedness required for jnanam, no jnanam is possible. For the preparedness, the karma is important. Therefore, karma yoga lifestyle is important. Karma yoga life has to be lived, become ready for jnana yoga. Okay? But jnanam is the direct means for moksha. That is established, no? And then his other argument. And he doesn't stop. Siddhanti doesn't feel happy with that. Okay, he wants to say a few more things. Always, and you want to refute an argument, and you have to present more. Because he quoted many verses. Karmanyevadikaraste, Kuru Karvitasmatvam, etc., etc. So he also has to say something. He didn't stop there. Siddhartha, even now we are clear. We can better go ahead. But Shankaracharya doesn't all leave us. His bhashyam goes on and on. So we let us do that. Okay. Anyway, it's all for. I told you about this thana nikhanana nyaya. We'll be loose otherwise. So we have to become firm. The post which has been kept in the hole, it should become firm. It should be moving. That's why it's again, it is said. Thereafter, now comes, not only that, he says, there also, he goes to Shatapatha Brahmanam from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Okay, there is a section called Shatapatha Brahmanam in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, where he quotes few sentences. From where? He talks about the Parivrajanaha. No, the Parivraji. See, he talks about the mature, dispassionate Brahmanaha. And he becomes a Parivraji. He becomes a sannyasi. Parivraji means sannyasi. And what does he do? He says, and then he gives up everything and goes. He gives up everything means what? In fact, he knows, if the knowledge is the only means for moksha, then why should I be doing all these things? No? He quotes all those sentences from, we have to read from there. No? We have to read from there. Let me do this.
think we have to start from here. Yeah, I think this is where we have to start.
This is the first paragraph is where is sorry. The first paragraph in English is where we were.
And second thing, one see both karma yoga and sannyasa, both lifestyles, one cannot live both lifestyles simultaneously. I'm a karma yogi, I'm also a sannyasi. You cannot say that. Okay? So, because one has to be either a karma yogi or a sannyasi. And to be a sannyasi, one must have been a karma yogi. Okay? With it, having been a karma yogi, one cannot become a sannyasi because one won't be ready for sannyasa. One won't be ready for sannyasa means not giving up. Sannyasa means being endowed with the contemplative disposition. Because sannyasa means people think of giving up something. Nothing is given up. Just mind becoming dispassionate toward other things, mind becoming focused on the nature of the self. That's what is echoing. He's implied with the word sannyasa. Sannyasa means mind, attention of the mind has been taken away from other things and focused on the nature of the self. That is what is real sannyasa. Understand? It means the contemplative, the person of contemplative disposition who is mature, who is dispassionate towards other ends, knowing their limitations. Like we also have vairagyam towards toys and dolls. Now we aren't interested in toys anymore. We are not dispassionate. Yes. Mm-hmm. I do like sometimes. Like that. That shows the maturity. Anyway. So here, and he also says, therefore, it's not possible. The two lifestyles are meant for people of two different levels. And that nobody is superior or inferior. Again, just for, therefore, jnanam is the only means. Karma samuchayaha is not possible. Synthesizing karma with jnanam is not possible. It's not necessary. It's not possible. Then again, he gives one more example. Yatha.
Yatha.
I'm very happy. All of you have the bhashan today. Yatha.
Yatha.
Yetate.
Yetate.
This is another quote given by a Siddhanti to refute the Purvapakshi's idea of synthesizing karma with the jnanam as means for moksha. Am I okay, Radhniji? Okay. Yatha.
Yatha.
Etate. Vibhagavachanam. Tathaiva.
Tathaiva.
Darshitam.
Darshitam.
Just as this difference between Karma Yoga and Sankhyanyasa has been shown, revealed, presented in Bhagavad Gita, similarly, the difference has been presented also in Shatapatha Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So he also quotes, don't think I'm quoting only from Bhagavad Gita, I can also quote from Upanishad, which is a source book, Pramana Grantha. Even for the source of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Shatapathiye Brahmane,
Shatapathiye Brahmane,
Yatha Bhagavad Gita Yam Vibhagavachanam Darshitam, the distinction has been presented, shown. Similarly, the same Vibhagavachanam, the difference between Karma Yoga and Jnanam is also presented in Darshitam Kutra Shatapatiye Brahmane. How it has been revealed there? He says, Evameva Prabrajinaha Lokam
Lokam
Ichantaha
Ichantaha
Brahmanaha
Brahmanaha
Pravrajanti
Pravrajanti.
So, see, Brahmanaha Pravrajanti. Okay, Pravrajanti, give up everything. Give up everything means what? They become dispassionate towards the pursuit of other ends. Okay, they don't hate other ends. Please understand. We have to understand a lot of things, my God. See, when you say pravrajanti means give up. Literally, pravrajanti, give up. What do they give up? the pursuit of other ends. They give up pursuing other ends. Giving you the pursuit of other ends means what? It's not simply giving up. They do not hate the pursuit of other ends. Okay? They don't say pursuing other ends is wrong. You should not pursue artha. You should not pursue kama. You should not pursue... No, they don't say that. That means having known the limitations of the other pursuits, having enjoyed the necessity, enjoyed the other ends, and understood the limitations that they cannot give me moksha, therefore they have given up pursuing those ends for moksha. That is very important. That means we shouldn't have been, don't earn money, don't have house, don't do that, don't have anything else. If I say, it's a wrong teaching. They have given up pursuing artha kama dharma for moksha. Okay? That is a very important point. So, they are the brahmanaha. Brahmanaha, in fact, the word brahmana has many meanings. I had to tell you in different contexts. One person, a mature person, the one who revels in the knowledge of Brahman is brahmana, highly mature person, one whose life is totally governed by dharma, one who is a sadhu, one who is a brahmana, many meanings are there. So here the brahmanaha means the mature, dispassionate people who enjoy the contemplative disposition and they give up pursuing other ends for moksha, and that means they pursue only jnanam for moksha. Such people are brahmanaha. What do? They Kimartam parivrajanti? Why do they give up other pursuits for moksha? Because knowledge is the only means for moksha. And so if knowledge is the only means for moksha, then what do they pursue? He says, pravrajanaha lokam icchantaha. They icchanti, they like. They like what? The lokam. The lok, which loka? They like the pravrajanaha loka. Pravraji is a sannyasi. What is the lokam of sannyasi? In fact, the self. They pursue the knowledge of the self. Giving up the pursuit of other ends for moksha, they pursue the knowledge of the self for moksha. This is said there. This also supports what? The Vibhaga Vachanam. The difference that has been revealed in Bhagavad Gita. Iti sarva karma sannyasam vidhaya. Sarva karma sannyasam vidhaya tachesena. For this few more things they add, say kim prachaya karishyamo.
Kim prachaya
karishyamaha. Yesham naha ayam atma ayam lokaha iti. They not only pursue the knowledge of the self, okay, like other sannyasis for moksha, they give up the other pursuits. A pursuit of other ends for moksha, but only knowledge. And he also says, esham naha, I am atma, I am lokaha. See, for us who have discovered the self, okay, kim prajaya karishyamaha, kim karishyamaha prajaya saha, what shall we do with the offspring? What shall we do with the children? Progeny. That means we don't need progeny anymore. Does it mean? No. We don't need, doesn't mean that. What does it mean? See, the pleasure, having progeny, having children, having offspring is in fact pleasure. Because pleasure is a wealth. We're going to see that later on how it's a wealth. Wealth. But the wealth is for pleasure, and that pleasure is a fraction of anandaha, fullness. When you have got the fullness, say, okay, what shall we do with little money when you have, okay, what shall we do with cup of water, when I have big, you know, already this is verse in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? This is a beautiful verse. Where there's a reservoir full of water, the reservoir full of water is useless for a, you know, in a place where the, where it is flooded everywhere. Similarly, kim prajya karishyamaha means what shall we, what do we need to do with the pleasure of having children? Okay, that means okay, put children are there, that's fine. That means kim prajya karishyamaha. Why? Because I am atma, I am lokaha. For the one who has discovered the self, the happiness has been discovered, the fullness has been discovered. One has discovered the fullness, all the pleasures born of all the objects of pleasure, you know, are resolved in this. No pleasure is outside of fullness of Anandaha. Therefore, this also has been said. Then, therefore, all these things imply what? Knowledge is the only means for moksha. Here we do not talk about the karma at all. Okay? So he also says next one. Dara parigraha means marriage, wedding. Daraha means wife. It's a plural word, no? Some language is a very funny word. Not a question, it's a funny word. Daraha, always plural word. But it means one wife, okay? Dara parigrahat prak. Before the marriage, one is prakritaha, one is not very highly desirous of accomplishing things. But and he started performing the rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda only after marriage. Okay, until then he is not qualified to perform rituals. Dara parigrahat prak, this grihastha, the householder, you know, he is not a householder. Even he is not a householder, as a brahmachari, one is not supposed to do many rituals. So he starts doing rituals, performing rituals only after marriage as a proper grihastha. Then what happened now? Because he becomes desirous of performing actions. And he is desirous of knowing the know-how of rituals. Okay? He learns, understands, knows how to perform rituals. Then afterwards, after marriage, he starts performing rituals. Okay? Therefore, what happens? After the marriage, dharma jignasa uttarakalam, dharma jignasa uttarakalam. Lokatrayasa. Okay, you want to read this? Okay. Dharma jignasa. Oh, I want the meaning of the word? Okay. Dharma jignasa uttara kalam. Dharma jignasa uttara kalam. What he says here is, dharma jignasa means, dharma here means also karma. Okay? Karma. The duties, rituals, rites, etc. as prescribed in the Karma Kanda. Jignasa, the desire to know the know-how of rituals, how to perform the ritual, etc. Dharma jignasa uttara kalam. Okay, he says, being desirous of knowing how to perform rituals, having learned how to perform rituals, having understood them, then he performs rituals. Okay, then he knows. Now he really develops desires. When he is able to perform rituals, there are rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda to accomplish so many things. Whatever you want, artha, kama, dharma, anything you want for security, anything you want for pleasures, anything you want for, okay, dharma. So, to accomplish these three ends, anything which come under these three ends, artha, kama, dharma, to accomplish that, there are rituals, there are rites, forms of worship, prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. Okay? So here, especially, even to have a son, there's a putra kamishti yaga. With Putra Kameshti, Aga also one can become a father and one can become father, one can become mother. Don't need to perform Putra Kameshti, Agar, oh no, don't need to marry in this country. Okay. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. But still I'm saying, here, Putra, this is a Putraha. Putraha, he says, because in Hindu culture, in Indian culture, it's very, very important. The son means, oh my God, you know, you are very important. For but your family, I tell you, very important. You are very treasured, great wealth. So here, it is very important to have a son. So here, Putra Kameshti Yaga is there. One who doesn't have, then they perform the ritual, then we get the son. Therefore, desire for son is because of pleasure. So it's not simply pleasure, means this having a son, because seeing oneself through the son is again great pleasure. So here, Putraha. And he also talks about the twofold wealth. Manusham vittam and daivam vittam. The Veda, the Karmakanda, talks about the higher worlds, the different worlds, and also other pleasures, the great pleasures, are the higher, to be enjoyed in higher other worlds. They are all meant for, okay, they're also based on belief system, not verifiable, okay? But Shastram talks about, Veda ultimately reveals the verifiable fact, we also accept these non-verifiable beliefs also. Okay? What does Veda say? There are many, many higher worlds where one can have different types of pleasures. And of all these worlds, there is a Pitralokaha, there is another loka called Devalokaha. And to go to Devaloka, one has to do karma, okay, one has to perform special rituals. And one has to be highly meditative also. Meditation upon the self, okay? Some other meditations. There are many meditative techniques prescribed in Upasana Kanda, practicing which, along with the performance of rituals, fire rituals, one can go to Devaloka. It's called Daivam Vittam. And Manusham Vittam means what? Going to the Pitruloka is Manusham Vittam. I mean, okay? The Devaloka, Pitruloka, the world of men, for which one has to perform certain rituals. Upasam is not required. Okay? The fire performance of fire rituals along with meditation, practice of certain meditative techniques on given different devatas, different aspects, natural phenomena, will take one to, as a result of which one can go to Devaloka. So attaining, going to Devaloka, enjoying the pleasures there is said to be Daivam Vittam. And going to Pitruloka, performing certain rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda, as a result of which one can go later on after the death, one can go to, Pitruloka, world of men, which is this Manushyam Vittam. Twofold wealth are there for which one has to perform karma. One has to here to accomplish the manusham vittam, human wealth. Okay, one has to perform only fire rituals, which is only kayikam karma, physical activity. And to accomplish the daivam vittam, to go to in the form of going to the Devaloka, one has to perform two types of karma, kayikam plus manasam. One has to perform rituals along with the practice of meditating upon given devatas. Both are what? Whether you want to go to Pitruloka, whether you want to go to Devaloka, okay, anyway, whether you want to accomplish manasham vittam or daivam vittam, still you have to do karma. Okay, these karmas are prescribed only for sakama, only for the person who has desires, and one who can have desires for these things, one who is ignorant. Ajnanavataha, we're going to say ajnanakamavataha eva etani karmani darshitani. All these karmas have been prescribed only for the person who is ignorant of the self, only for the person, okay, and who remains rooted in ignorance and who's steeped in ignorance, one who has lot of desires for other things. Okay, desire for anything is natural, nothing wrong. And these, okay, you have all these desires, fine, do all this karma and enjoy this as a result of those karmas. They have been prescribed the karmas have been not prescribed for akamaha, a sankhyaha, sannyasi. Therefore, what is it understood now? If akamaha means one who is free from desire for other things. Okay, sannyasi. Therefore, if knowledge and action both together can be the means for moksha, then a sannyasi wouldn't have been advised to not to do these karmas, which will get him both Devaloka and Pitruloka. Is it clear? Oh, so much. So much. We know this. We need to know, read this, because we have decided to do the Bhashyam. If you bored with this, chakra. Okay, let me read this now. Dharma jignyasa uttarakalam. Lokatrayasadhanam. You see the accomplishment of three worlds, etc., etc. For all these things, one has to do a lot of fire rituals and also upasanam. Upasana means one has to practice meditative techniques. One has to meditate upon different devatas, not upon this nature of this surupma, the atma. Okay, that's why I hope you understand that. Again, when you talk about meditation, means the people think meditation means immediately self knowledge. They think. See, our shastras talk about lot of meditations, many meditations, meditating upon different devatas. Called devata upasanam. For what? For other ends. Okay. So here, putram. Dvi prakaram cha vittam. What I've already explained to you, that way I'm reading it out. Manusham.
Daivam cha.
Tatra. So, man becomes desirous of accomplishing things only after having learnt the know-how of rituals prescribed in the karma kanda after the marriage. It's okay? And what did he say? Viprakaram cha vittam, manusham vittam, daivam vittam, twofold wealth. What is manusham vittam? Tatra. Manusham.
Karma rupam.
Pitruloka prapti sadhanam. See, pitruloka praptehe sadhanam kim. Okay, what is the means for accomplishing the pitruloka? Okay, to attain the pitruloka, one has to perform rituals. That's all. Karma rupam, which is the form of performance of rituals. Okay. Vidyam cha. Daivam vittam.
Devaloka.
Prapti sadhanam. So, Devalokam praptum sadhanam kim. Okay. To attain Devaloka, Devavittam is Vidya. Vidya here means upasanam. Upasanam here means meditation. Meditating upon the different devatas. Don't read translations. Vidya means knowledge. Vidya in some arts, in different contexts, means upasana, meditation. Okay? Yeah, they literally translate Vidya as knowledge. Knowledge of what again? You confuse. That's why I understand this. Vidyam cha. Vidya here means upasana, meditation. Please be very, very careful. Daivam vittam. So, meditating upon the devatas, using some given meditative techniques is Daivam Vittam, the divine wealth, which will help you to accomplish Devaloka, Devaloka Prapti Sadhanam. Okay. Saha.
Saha.
Akamayata.
Akamayata.
Okay. Saha akamayata means the man, the person, he desired all these things. What all he desired? He desired. He became desirous of accomplishing Devaloka with Daivavittam and also Manushavittam. How? Having understood the know-how of rituals. When? Dharma Jignasa Uttarakalam. After having studied the rituals. Being desirous of knowing, know-how of rituals, having studied them, after the marriage, he became desirous of accomplishing these things. This verse it mentioned, Kutra Darshitam Shatapatiye Brahmane Darshitam has been said. So, now he says, so what? Avidya Kamavataha Eva.
Avidya Kamavataha Eva.
Very interesting. Avidyavan Kamavan. Listen. Sarvani Karmani. All these different types of actions, activities, rituals, even the meditation upon different devatas, upasanani, manasam karma, the mental activity, meditating upon the different devatas, or performance of different fire rituals, and also other, or shrauta adini. Shrauta means the karma prescribed in Shruti is called shrautam karma. The karma prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda, the Shruti, is called Shrautam karma, Shrauta karma, Adinimyo Smartha karma, also other duties prescribed by Smriti such as Varna dharma, Ashrama dharma, etc. etc. We have as a Grihastha what one should do, as a Brahmachari what one should do, as a Savanaprastha what one should do, as a Sannyasi what one should not do, what one should do. Okay, all these things. I can cook. Okay, all other things, all those activities, no, and also other karmas, I mean the karma karmas, rituals and also the things, other activities we performed for accomplishing the given ends. Definitely. Like Putra Kamishti, etc. All these rituals, Sarvani Karmani, Shrautadini Darshitani, they have been shown, they have been revealed, they have been prescribed for whom? Avidya Kamavataha Yeva. Avidyavan, ignorant. Kamavan, the one who has desires. Avidya Kamavataha Vai, one who has desires is definitely ignorant of things, ignorant of the self. So Avidyavan Eva Kamavan, Avidyavan Cha Aso Kamavan Cha Tasya. Avidya Kamavataha Yeva. One who is ignorant of the self, therefore one who has helplessly many desires, only for him all these rituals have been prescribed. It is not for, see, Tevyaha Vyuttaya Pravrajan Tevyaha. Read now. Tevyaha.
Tevyaha.
Vyuttanam.
Vyuttanam.
Okay. Tevyaha. Atmanameva.
Atmanameva.
Lokam.
Lokam.
Chataha.
Chataha.
Akamasya.
Akamasya.
Vihitam.
Vihitam.
Okay. Vithana means giving up of all these activity, actions, all these rituals and duties, okay, all these things. Shautadini karmani. All these rituals, all these different meditations upon different devatas, all these things, upasana, karma, and also smartha karma, all the activities have been prescribed only for avidya kamavataha, only for the ignorant person who has desires, and tebhyaha vyutthanam, so giving up of all these the actions have been prescribed, vihitam, ordained for the one who is free from desires, akamasya, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, only pursuit of knowledge. That means these actions have been not prescribed for a sannyasi, they have been prescribed only for avidya kamavan. what does it mean? Therefore, tadiyet vibhagavat, suppose if these activities have been prescribed for a sannyasi, if this manushtha, the upasanam, the shautadini karmani, the karmas prescribed in the shruti have been prescribed for a sannyasi also, then the vibhaga vachanam would have been inappropriate. But now the lifestyle prescribed by Bhagavan in Gita would have become inappropriate. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, jnana karma samuchaya is not said. Jnanam is the only means for moksha. Karma need not be mixed up, connected to the knowledge as means of moksha. Bhagavachanam anupapannam syat yadi shrauta karma jnanayoho shrauta karma jnanayoho samuchayaha abhipretaha syat
bhagavataha.
Then he says, Bhagavan Krishna's this distinction of knowledge and karma, that two lifestyles, particularly Bhagavan, karma yoga lifestyle and jnana yoga lifestyle, would have been, whatever he intended, would have been improper, inappropriate, if a sannyasi was expected to do all these rituals prescribed there. Because it has been said very clearly, akamasya vittanam vihitam, giving up of these rituals has been ordered for a sannyasi. Therefore, sannyasi doesn't need to do all these karmas. It is said. This is another. This Upanishad, he quotes the Siddhanti very cleverly, quotes from Shatapada Brahmana of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, support his argument of saying, not is the only means for moksha. Karma is not, samuchaya is not required. Then, it's a very interesting thing. Next comes. Now, Siddhanta quotes one more quotation. With this, it's over, okay? Then it'll be different. Sorry to bore you with this. Yeah. There is one more thing comes. In third chapter, the beginning of the third chapter, the very first verse, has a question. Always Arjuna was like Radhiji with Krishna, He started with the question. So Krishna explained the whole nature of the self. Then afterwards, Krishna talked about the importance of the karma. He gave the karma yoga in a nutshell in few verses. Then he also said the importance of doing his duties, etc. Then he again talked about who is the jnani, etc. This whole second chapter. But the whole second chapter is an epitome of the entire Gita. Everything has been given there. In fact, Arjuna must have understood everything very clearly there itself. Doesn't need to ask a question at all. But still he asked a question. What is the question? Oh Krishna, you say knowledge is the only means for moksha. It is ignorance that binds me. Ignorance of the self that binds me. In the wake of the knowledge of the self, I'll discover freedom. I'll be free. Knowledge is freedom. Knowledge doesn't liberate me. Not action. Now, knowing itself is freedom. That means I should pursue only knowledge. And why should I do karma? Then he asks this question. Karmana jayasi che karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim ghar karmani ghore maam niyojayasi keshava. Hey Keshava, why do you involve me in doing a ghoram karma, ghore karmani, kim maam niyojayasi? He says, if you think knowledge is the only means for moksha, knowledge is superior to karma. Karmanaha buddhehe karma jaya, karmanaha buddhehe jayasi chet. Then why do you want me to do karma? Why do you involve me in this? This is the ghora karma, horrible act of killing, no, fighting against people, killing. This question, Arjuna asked this question. If Bhagavan told very clearly, okay, you do karma also, not the self. If Bhagavan had told him, do karma, know the self for moksha, you will become free from all your sorrows. If Bhagavan had told, the Arjuna wouldn't have asked this question at all. The very question Arjuna asked in the beginning of the third chapter is the proof that Krishna definitely said, do your karma to prepare you for jnanam, but knowledge is the only means for moksha. Therefore, samuchyaha, jnana karma samuchyaha is not possible. He quoted one more quotation from Bhagavad Gita, this Siddhanti. He says, no. Nacha Arjunasya Prashnaha Upapannaha Bhavati Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Tyadihi. See, Karmanaha Buddhihi Jayasi Chet Nakim Gore Kamani Mam Niyojasi. This very Prashnaha, this very question would have been, now, wouldn't have come. So he is going to say later on, very interesting thing comes. Suppose the doctor will approach later on. If the doctor, suppose the person was a pitta rogaha. Pitta roga means one, see, your talk discussed here. One who is of basically the pitta constitution, one whose body has, you know, the generates sort of heat. I have pitta people learn. I don't know. One Sheila and another Anna here. So one who is of the pitta constitution and has a lot of heat generated in the body, if that person goes to the doctor and the doctor tells him, you eat only something sweet and cold, don't eat anything heat generating, okay? If the doctor advises him to eat only the cold and sweet things, then the patient doesn't need to ask the doctor, should I eat only the cold things, cooling food, or should I eat only the sweet things? The doctor says, okay, cooling and sweet. And why should the patient ask the question? It's not necessary for him to ask, he has to eat both. Similarly, if Krishna said, you have to do karma and pursue not know the self for moksha, then Arjuna need not ask at all. Should I do karma or should I do pursue knowledge? They know the self. If one is only me, why do you want me to? He had to ask. Understand? Therefore, because Arjuna asked this question, Krishna did not say both knowledge and karma together as means of knowledge. He said knowledge is the only means for moksha. But he also, even though he asked him to do karma, he didn't say both together from the means. Therefore, knowledge is the only means for mokshaha. Or you don't need to synthesize karma with jnanam for moksha. That is the thing here that comes. What's the time here? Because Madhava and his...
4:24.
Four? What did we start the class?
2:30.
2:30 or 8 later.
Oh my God. Because Madhava...
Olga.
Huh?
Olga. Oh, sorry.
Could you please spell the word? Spell the word.
O-L-G-A.
Okay, Olga. God, I'm really poor.
That's right.
It's Olga. Up there, we can also do some chanting so they'll enjoy it. I'm sorry. This. Anyway, would you mind if...
No, of course not.
If let me finish this.
Please do what you do, not for...
Okay. Nacha Arjunasya
Prashnaha
Upapannaha Bhavati
Upapannaha Bhavati
Jayasi Chet
jaya shiche
karmanaste
karmanaste
ityadihi
ityadi
eka purusha
eka purusha
anushteyatva
anushteyatva
asambhavam
asambhavam
buddhi karmanoho
buddhi karmanoho
bhagavata
bhagavata
purvam
purvam
anuktam
anuktam
katham
katham
arjunaha
arjunaha
ashrutam
ashrutam
buddhescha
buddhescha
कर्मणः
ज्यायः
ज्यायः त्वं सर्जायस्त्वं
भगवति
भगवति अध्यारोपयेत्
अध्यारोपयेत्
वृषैव
वृषैव
ज्यायसि चेत्
कर्मणस्ते
मता बुद्धिः
मता बुद्धिः
इति
इति
बस भगवान् हैज ऑलरेडी सेड के both karma and jnanam as means for moksha, then Arjuna cannot ask like this. It would have been false. See, Bhagavan hasn't said that. If Bhagavan has already said, if it ashrutam, what has been not heard before, what has been not said before, how can Arjuna ask? Okay? He can't simply create himself the question. The very question is, states. Arjuna's question states that Bhagavan has already said knowledge is the only means for moksha. Then, kincha yadi buddhi karmanoho sarvesham samuchayaha uktaha syat. Arjunasyapi
Arjunasyapi
saha
saha
uktah eva iti
uktah eva iti
yachreya
yachreya
etayorekam
etayorekam
tanme bruhi sunischitam
tanme bruhi sunischitam
iti
iti
katham
katham
ubhayoho
ubhayoho
upadeshe sati
upadeshe sati
anyatara vishayah eva prashnaha syat. He says here, okay, even if Bhagavan stated jnanam and karma together as means of knowledge, then even if Bhagavan stated he generally, then Arjuna, what should Arjuna ask? Suppose, okay, if we take it this way, he says, even if Bhagavan has said, okay Arjuna, you have to know what the self is. Not just self is the only means for moksha. You have to do karma also. Along with self-knowledge, you have to do karma. Okay? Perform karma with self-knowledge for moksha. If Bhagavan has said that, then why should Arjuna ask this question? Yachre yatishreyaha nischitam bruhi karma uta jnana. Why should he ask this question? If Bhagavan has meant that, then Arjuna shouldn't have asked, come out with this question, yat shreyaha, of these two, karma and jnanam, which of these two is better? Which of these two is the means? Yat shreyaha tat ekam me nischitam bruhi. Why he says, please tell me only that which is the means for, which will free me from all sorrows. Why did he ask the question? So he says, he gives an example. Nahi pitta prashamanarthinaha. See, pratta pitta prashamana arthi, the one who wants to eliminate the problem caused by pitta. Okay? He is a pitta prashamanarthi. His, okay? Pitta prasham, pittam prashamayitam yena arthyate. Okay? Yena pitta prashamanam arthyate saha pitta prashamanarthi, one who wants to get rid of the pitta problems. So pitta prashamanarthinaha
pitta prashamanarthinaha
vaidyena madhuram
shitam cha
bhoktavyam
iti
upadishte.
Upadishte,
I think I already told you the meaning. Tayoho,
tayoho
anyatara,
anyatara,
anyatara, పిత్త ప్రశమన కారణం బ్రూహి ఇతి ప్రశ్న సంభవతి. డాక్టర్ టెల్స్ టేక్ బోత్ శీతం అండ్ మధురం అన్యతరత్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ టూ, టెల్ మీ వన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ టూ ఇది ప్రశ్న నహి సంభవతి. ద ప్రశ్న, ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ అరైజ్ అట్ ఆల్, ఇస్ నాట్ కమ్ అట్ ఆల్. అథ అర్జునస్య భగవదుక్త వచన అర్థ వివేక అనవధారణ నిమిత్త ప్రశ్న కల్ప్యతే తథాపి భగవత ప్రశ్నానురూపం ప్రతివచనం దేయం. సో హీ సేస్ ఓకే, భగవాన్ సెడ్ బోత్ ఆర్ ద మీన్స్ కర్మ అండ్ జ్ఞానం టుగెదర్ ఫ్రమ్ ది మీన్స్ ఫర్ మోక్ష. నేను అర్జునా ఉంటే వాస్తవ క్వశ్చన్ ఎట్ ఆల్, ఇఫ్ ఎట్ ఆల్ భగవాన్ హ్యాస్ సెడ్ బోత్ కర్మ అండ్ జ్ఞానం టుగెదర్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ ది మీన్స్ ఫర్ మోక్ష, నేను అర్జునా నీ నాట్ ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్. తయోహో నిశ్చితం ఏకం బ్రూహి, ప్లీజ్ టెల్ మీ వాట్ ఈస్ ద వన్ ఆఫ్ ద టూ విచ్ ఈస్ విచ్ ఈస్ బెటర్ ఫర్ మోక్ష. హీ నాట్ ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఓకే. అండ్ హీ సేస్ లైక్ వాట్, లైక్ బీంగ్ అడ్వైస్ బై ది డాక్టర్ ది పిత్త ప్రశ్వనార్థి, వెన్ హీ సెడ్ టేక్ మోర్ మధురం అని శీతం అన్యతరతి ఏకం ఆఫ్ ద టూ, టెల్ మీ విచ్ షుడ్ ఐ టేక్, విచ్ ఫుడ్ షుడ్ ఐ ఈట్. హీ డస్ నీట్ సచ్ సచ్ క్వశ్చన్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ అట్ ఆల్. దెన్ హీ సేస్ if at all we say Arjuna, because of his dullness of mind, even if he did not understand exactly what Bhagavan said, even if he asked which of the, okay, sometimes it may happen, you see, this came to state, the doctor tells very clearly, take both Sheetam and Madhuram, still the patient, because of anavadharanata, okay, because of the incapacity to understand things correctly, he may ask, what should I take? Whether should I take only sweet things or the cooling things? He may ask the question, but he might have asked, he can ask, but still Bhagavan made it very clear. Both, he should have told both. The doctor will say, you have to say both. I don't say only one. And Krishna did not say, do both karma and pursue knowledge. He did not say that. Know what the self is for moksha and do also karma for moksha. When Krishna, even if Arjuna didn't understand correctly, even if Arjuna asked a question, Bhagavan could have come out with the question, answer, say you have to do karma and also know the self for moksha, freedom from all limitations. But he didn't say that. He, what did he say? He quotes that way. లోకేస్మిన్ వివిధ నిష్ట పురా ప్రోక్త మయా అర్జున, అస్మిన్ లోకే పురా మయా ప్రోక్త, పూర్వమేవ ఇన్ వేద ఏ మయా ప్రోక్త, ఓకే యూ ఇట్ హెస్ బిన్ సెట్ బిఫోర్ ఇన్ వేద దట్ ద్విధ నిష్ట ప్రోక్త, టూ లైఫ్ స్టైల్స్ హ్యావ్ బిన్ ఆల్రెడీ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్. ఓకే, వై షుడ్ భగవాన్ టాక్ బట్ టూ లైఫ్ స్టైల్స్ బీయింగ్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్? కర్మయోగ ఫర్ యోగినాం, సాంఖ్య సాంఖ్యాన జ్ఞాన యోగ ఇది, టూ లైఫ్ స్టైల్స్ హావ్ బిన్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్. వై డిడ్ భగవాన్ సే? భగవాన్స్ ఆన్సర్ ఇస్ ద ప్రూఫ్. ఈవెన్ నైస్ నో భాష ఇస్ంట్ ఇట్? సో హి సేస్ భగవదుక్త వచనస్య అర్థ వివేక అవధారణ నిమిత్త ప్రశ్న కల్పితే. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ సే ఓ దిస్ ఈవ్ అర్జున మైట్ హావ్ ఆస్ సచ్ క్వశ్చన్ డ్యూ టు హిస్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ భగవాన్ హెస్ సెడ్ దే, హీ మైట్ హావ్ ఆస్ ద క్వశ్చన్. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ హెస్ ఆస్ ద క్వశ్చన్, భగవాన్ కుడ్ హెస్ సెడ్ నో నో, యూ హ్యావ్ టు డూ బోత్, డూ ది సెల్ఫ్, డూ ది కర్మ. బట్ భగవాన్ డి నాట్ సే దట్. వాట్ భగవాన్ సే? మయా తథాపి భగవద్, ఓకే తథాపి భగవత ప్రశ్న అనురూపం ప్రతివచనం దేయం. ప్రశ్నస్య అనురూపం వచనం దేయం. హియర్ యు మస్ట్ హావ్ గివెన్ ఎన్ అప్రోప్రియట్, నో ది సూటబుల్ ఆన్సర్ ఫర్ ద క్వశ్చన్. బట్ వాట్ భగవాన్ సే? మయా బుద్ధి కర్మణోహో samuchayah uktah kimartham
ittam
tvam brantah asi. Hey Arjuna, why are you confused here? Why are you deluded here? I have told you the synthesis of both karma and jnana. Why do you ask me which of the two is better? Yat shreyah nischitam bruhi iti kaha prashnah. Why do you ask me this question? Maya samuchyaha uktaha. Bhagavan has given this anurupam. No? Bhagavan would have given the suitable answer for the question if Bhagavan intended both karma jnana samuchyaha. No? He would have given the answer. Buddhi karma noho samuchyaha uktaha. The synthesis of karma and jnanam has been said by me already. And why do you ask this question? Tvam kim brantaha asi? He would have asked, but he didn't say that. He didn't ask such question. What is it? Natu.
Natu.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Prativachanam.
Prativachanam.
Ananarupam.
Ananarupam.
See, and anurupam. Okay? Ananarupam.
Ananarupam.
Prishtat anyati eva.
Prishtat anyati eva.
He asked which of the two is better. Okay? So even Bhakti Arjuna asked, now, like dunted person, Bhagavan had told, I told both. I told the synthesis of karma and jnanam. Why do you ask me this question? Do your karma, know the self for moksha. But he didn't give anurupam. No, anurupam, that uttaram he didn't give. He gave a different answer. What did he say? He didn't talk about samachya at all. Dve nishte maya pura prokte iti vaktum yuktam. Okay, so two lifestyles have been prescribed by me before. Therefore, when Krishna says two lifestyles have been prescribed, that means one lifestyle, because Jnana Yoga lifestyle is exclusively for knowing the self, to dwell upon nature of the self, having understood the self, which itself will result in the ascertained vision of the truth, the self which is mokshaha, for which you have to become ready, prepared, for which you have to live a life of karma yoga. So two lifestyles have been prescribed. Okay, when you are not prepared for jnanam, you have to do karma with proper attitude, convert action into yoga, which is said to be karma yoga lifestyle. But thereby, you become prepared for jnanam. Okay, you understand the self, then you be contemplative, dwell upon the self, ascertain the vision, which is the real jnanam, which is mokshaha. Therefore, jnana karmanoho samuchyaha na sambhavati. Okay? Karma and jnanam cannot be together from the means of knowledge. It is only the knowledge which is the means of mokshaha, means for mokshaha.
But
it's very nice.
But what you suddenly realize is first, how superficial one's own reading of these things are. You know, some of these questions don't even come up. And even if the question came up, the nuance of the answer is just not.
See, I repeat and repeat and repeat here. Too many times it is repeat. See, the Bhashya part means repetition.
Yeah, the problem we have is the translations are not all that good either. That's the problem.
I tell you, that's why I told you, the Sampradaya is not known. The Bhashya translations.
Oh, okay.
See, Vidya means knowledge, correct. Nothing wrong. But in Shankara's Bhasham, sometimes the word Vidya doesn't mean only knowledge, it also means Upasanam. Upasana means meditation. When I say meditation, meditation is not contemplation. Contemplation is meditation. Meditation upon what? Meditating upon the nature of the self is contemplation, which is upasana. That is different. That's what we call nirguna upasana, which is possible only in the when you know what the self is. But here upasana, the upasana kanda talks about meditating upon different devatas, the phenomena, actual phenomena. And so those meditation upasanas also manasam karma. It's just a karma, time-bound karma. That also results, gives many results. Then Shastram talks about mere performance of rituals, gives some results, some types of results. And performance of rituals with upasana, meditating upon the given devatas, sarsakad samuchaya. Anyway, all are results of actions. Result of purely physical activity, result of mental plus physical activity. This is what vidya. That's the vidya, that means upasanam. And if you take it, if you literally when they translate, they don't mention about here, they have to talk about it. We say this is the knowledge. What do you think of knowledge? And anyway, so all these activities, mental activity, the results of results, see, you can do any karma only when your interest in the end, the result of karma phalam. You must be interested in karma phalam. You must be desirous of karma phalam. Then you do a given karma for a given result, given phalam. So all these karmas, see, upasana sahitam karma, upasana rahitam karma, all these karmas with upasana, without upasana, the rituals, all these become what? Manasam karma, uta kayakam karma, all these karmas are prescribed only for the avidya kamavataha. Avidya kamavataha eva sarite etane sarvani karmani darshitani. All this have been prescribed only for the avidya kamavan, not for the akama. Who is akama? Sanyasi akamaha. Why is akama? He is free from desires. In fact, he is dispassionate. Why? Because he knows the limitations of other things. He's not interested. He has gone out of desire for things. So, akamasya kimartam etane karmani. So, if this akamasya etani karmani na vihitam, na vihitam, vithanam vihitam, vittishtati, vyuttishtati means gives up, giving up. Vithanam is vihitam, not karanam is vihitam. That means what? He is who? Akamaha is Atma Jignyasu. Atsurupa Jignyasu. One who is desirous of knowing the self, because that itself is moksha for him. For him, these things are not prescribed means this is a proof. This supports the argument to say knowledge alone is the only means. You don't require karma there. Samuchyaha is not possible. Karmana katam jnanena karma katam samuchyate. How it is connected? Not necessary.
But basically also what you're saying is that knowledge of what Ishvara is necessary as a starting. You can't even begin without.
No, I said purusharth nischaya. Yeah, let me talk to you about it now. Let me come back to this. Maybe I can do the whole paragraph. I can just explain when you begin this class. We just go to the. I won't leave one word also. I'll say the contents of all the that is next Bhashyam in English first. Then I'll read the Bhashyam today. Okay? And I'll make it very clear. Then we'll go to the verse meaning, the prose order, the grammar of the verse we'll do. Not the Bhashyam, the grammar of the Bhashyam. We'll do. Then we'll see the Bhashyam, we'll explain the Bhashyam. It become very, very clear. It become very, very clear. There's no doubt. But before that, you mean the karma yogi? I mean, talk about the karma yogi. See, the difference is actually, when you say, without the purushartha nischeha, now purushartha nischeha means mokshaha is my ultimate purushartha iti nischeya buddhihi, iti nischeha, samshaya rahita nischeha, doubt-free, firm understanding of the end being mokshaha, ultimate end being mokshaha. And second thing, all the four, even though we say 1, 2, 3, 4, we list them, they're not one after the other. Really speaking, all are simultaneous. We have what I really seek through all of them is happiness, which is freedom from sorrow. Therefore, that is the ultimate, that is very clear. And that moksha is only knowing what happiness is in the form of knowing what the self is. Knowledge is the moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. There are two different things. Then that is the thing. So for this, when one purushartha nischaya is there, that's what I want. It's all the buddhi shakti, it's all the how mature the person is. My God, only one can be totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Totally means karma yogi also is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Sannyasi is also committed to the pursuit of knowledge. For both of them, end is the same. But
still, you know, one who is not able to take the attention away from other things. That is what. Okay, then you sannyasa lifestyle. Okay, otherwise karma yoga lifestyle. And here also, the fact revealed by the shastra is somewhat understood and accepted. Okay, Bhagavan is the whole. This is the fact. Okay, I just have faith in the words of the Shastram. I have this, Vasana is the fact. I have understood the fact. It has yet to become true to my understanding.
So even in that, even with that, buddhi, you can form karma yoga.
Yeah, no, at least with, you need to have this much understanding.
Yeah.
There's a certain understanding is there, definitely. A certain understanding of Bhagavan is there, definitely. Without that, it's not possible.
Even
for you to become a karma yogi, okay? See, when is yoga? How can one become a karma yogi? Only if you are moksha, only if you are jignasu, you can become a karma yogi. Without being a jignasu, how can you become a karma yogi? No problem. See, you know, you are moksha, you are jignasu, but you know you're not ready for that yet. You're not ready for that, mean what? I want to be, but I'm not able to be.
I'm still attached.
Then okay, then what you do? Then karma yoga lifestyle. What I say, in fact, is just turning the attention of the mind towards Swarupam. Now, which means again, the mind has become subtle. So till then, okay, still there are things. Understanding what happiness is, you're becoming free from sorrow. I said, then she came and asked me, Swaminiji, why should we know we can accept everything as prasada, prarabdham, prasada buddhi? Because they're exposed to the teaching, you see. I said, nothing wrong. Once the jnanam takes place, until the knowledge takes place, you accept everything as prasada, as a prarabdha. Okay, when there is sorrow. When the jnanam takes place, there is no sorrow at all. Then why is the question of accepting it? When you understand what happiness is, in happiness is what? Limitlessness, which is the nature of this swarupa atma, wherein you resolve the sorrow. You resolve everything. There is nothing is there for you separately, independent of that happiness. Everything is in happiness, in limitlessness, which is the Atma, which is the Chaitanya Brahma. Everything is resolved. Then there must be sorrow for you to accept it or not to accept it. So until jnanam takes place, yet an attitude you have to have. Relatively. The sorrow is relative. Dukkham is relative, pain, pleasure is relative, pain is relative, in a relative word, everything is relative. There's prarabdha which is relative. Okay? So you accept as prarabdha which comes and goes. And this prasada buddhihi, you accept, look at it as prasada because you know the order is Bhagavan. And the results are ordained by the natural laws, the laws are Bhagavan. And there is a cause behind whatever happens, there is a cause definitely, therefore you can't undo it. And look at the laws as Bhagavan, therefore look at the result ordained by the laws as Bhagavan. Then you look at it as Ishvara, then you prasada, then you accept it. With the sameness of mind. And knowing their nature that they will come and go, they are going to be there for permanently forever. This is the fact about the nature of the results also really helps us to relax. Everything comes and goes, nothing is permanent. So understand these things. And it's called prarabdha, then it goes, it gets exhausted. This is true. But this understanding of Bhagavan as law and order, accepting the results as Bhagavad Prasada, no, the sameness of mind, as Bharavda, all these things are possible as long as there is ajnanam. And to gain jnanam, you have to hold a breath, you have to manage to, without going, going crazy, without becoming mad, without losing your strength, without becoming broken-minded, managing to be strong enough to survive till you gain jnanam, You have to have certain attitude. That's what is paharta of this business. Once jnanam takes place, where is sorrow? Why to accept it? There's no sorrow, but then why is the question of accepting it? Okay. So understand all these things, we'll understand systematically, slowly. That's what I said. That's why I was thinking yesterday when I was going to teach, I was just, these words were ringing in my mind suddenly. Once, or Jnani says, Shankaracharya before the Bhajagovardhan says, this is a fact, this is a truth. Now all these, there's no, everywhere, there's no really santoshaha. Santoshaha is the surupam of the Atma. Only knowing Atma, you will know what limitlessness is. Knowing what limitlessness is, what understanding what happiness is. And then the whole jagat is what? The very verse now sounds very melancholic. Lokam shokatam cha samastam bhaja govindam. The melody, okay? Bhaja govindam. Govindam bhaja mudamate samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane lokam shokahatam cha samastam. Whole lokam is shokahatam. But it means only shoka, there's no happiness here. Is elective on standpoint. From a given standpoint, you can say lokam shoka. So from other standpoint, where is the shoka? How the world is shokahatam? Once you discover what happiness is, everything, you don't see anything which can affect the happiness.
Sorry, in response then to Richard's question, you appear to be saying that this order, that Bhagavan is order.
Mm-hmm.
Means that when you appreciate that all is this limitless happiness and that there is no shoka, no misery, that sense.
See, within the realm of this limitlessness. Okay, let me finish it, let me wait for you.
That then puts everything into a perspective which you are calling order. Is that correct?
Everything. They say everything.
That then puts everything into a perspective which you are calling order. Is that correct?
Yeah. Fine. Listen, so when I say limitlessness, that itself is enough. Because limitlessness accommodates everything. The knowledge, the order.
In which everything is, as it were, has its place. Its order.
Order.
Its relationship. And that is understood as a systematic unfolding order. Is that
correct? Yeah.
Right. Is that right? No, obviously not.
He's still not satisfied.
Just a bit evading us. He's still after his own.
It is not the manager sitting or top four person, the chairman, the managing director, then other person, then supervisor. It's not like that. I don't say that way. When I say order, it is not the already existing the way of functioning.
Yeah.
Which is already there. It is order. And that is not outside of knowledge, which is the reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness. So everything is there. If whether you can say everything is illumined by light or everything is illumined by the sun, you can say everything exists in sun. Everything is illumined by the sun, you can say, or you can say illumined by the lights, you can say. Both are the same. Everything exists in light. Similarly, everything, when I say everything is, the order is not outside of limitlessness. The order is not outside of consciousness, which is limitlessness, in fact. This Satyam, that's why these words, we tell you Satyam Anantam Brahma, etc. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. That's why it is Satyam, it is Jnana, why three words again? Anantam. Anantara should be explained as Anandaha. Oh, it will take time for us to
to go there.
But in your saying everything is ruined by the sun and everything is ruined by light, the same. In that is the same. So sun is Ishvara, light is consciousness. In that.
No. I don't say that. I just example I gave the sun. This example I just gave, the inseparability of the nature of consciousness, okay? The limitlessness is the nature of consciousness. It is limitless by itself. Mm-hmm. That's all. They're just examples, only example. We shouldn't take it that way. Because here the sun is grass, okay, grass thing. So, I just example. Make you understand what is the swarupam. Swarupam is a very expressive word. Even though it's the word nature, still it is not as expressive as the word swarupam.
Yeah.
To say that, okay, I have to use this fire and heat. Heat is swarupam of the fire. Light is swarupam of the brilliance. Is swarupam of the sun. It is like you say. It should say limitless is swarupam of the consciousness. Now that is what I am saying. That unfoldment of Atman, Antam, Brahma, which we will see. In fact, here is what we are going to see here. Ajaha. Now we are going to see later on. Nitya sarvagata sthanaho. We are going to see this. Here itself we come across the same unfoldment. It will become very clear. How it is swarupam.
Yeah.
That will become very
clear. I mean, it is impossible for moksha for an atheist.
No. Atheist means, he's atheist. Nastikaha is atheist. Nasti iti, what does he say is nasti? If he says, there's no God, what does he mean by the God?
Exactly.
If he says, no, I don't believe in this Christ, or this Krishna, this Rama, I don't accept this as God, okay, then it's fine, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
At this number, 8763 or something, some number, or something he says, he says, look at it as God, he says, no, fine, he's fine. Yeah. God is not these forms, definitely not. But we can say, God is not, definitely we accept, I accept his concept of God. Definitely, God is not these forms. But I have another answer, that all these forms are God.
Anyway,
so this is the problem. Again, atheist means, who is atheist?
Yeah.
But one who, suppose Vedam, one who doesn't believe in Veda, the Nastikaha, he has some problem. It's all because of the personal grievances. That's okay. But actually, one who says Bhagavan is not there, which Bhagavan is not there? What do you mean by Bhagavan? If you ask the question, there ends. We say, there are many naturalists who say there's no Bhagavan, but they believe in nature. It's fine. You need not use the word Bhagavan, you need to use the word God, the Lord, they don't need to say. Really, it is really speaking. We have to answer. We need some hold to talk about it. Otherwise, because Lord, when you say, it's a master gender word. And then, really, then I have to, when I go, I have to use the word He. It's a problem, really speaking. We can say, no problem. Just for the sake of using, say, again, Bhagavan is a Pullinga Shabda. It's a problem. Because the words happen to be either masculine or feminine gender.
Yeah.
We have problem. Really speaking, Bhagavan is neither he nor she, all the he, she, it, everything is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has no form, all the forms are Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Nastikaha means, who do you mean as Nastikaha? Who is an atheist? Or which atheist do you mean? One doesn't believe in Veda, one doesn't believe in Bhagavan, the concept of Lord.
Now I think that there's still to be understood the concept of order, law and order, which you keep referring to. I have an idea what it means, but I also know that there's something still missing about that. Yeah. Exactly what it is, I don't know.
Okay, what do you think?
What I think? You really want to know what I I think the way that I've been brought up to think is kind of quite rigid, and I suspect that's, that everything. You talked about the line of management from the. This is how we are trained in the West a lot, to think in lines rather than
coexisting in a, in an integrated way.
Yeah.
So that's, I have a vague idea. What, there's something not quite right in my understanding there, but it's hard to express it exactly what it is.
Okay, the order. We'll see that actually.
Is anyone interested in
the Bhagavad Gita? The order will become very clear later on. The first six chapters talk about the, you know, it's a commentary on the word form. The sixth chapters actually talk about the, you know, tat padartha, that you shall become more clear. We'll see the order also there. We'll understand the order better there. We'll see that. See, again, it's not the truth. That's why the Ishwar, why, see, dharmaha, the word dharmaha also means order. The law and order, universal, the natural universal law and order. And, you know, that's why I said, the word dharma, you understand more. The more you understand the in-depth, you know, vision of the Shastra, the more you understand Ishvara, the more you understand dharma, he said. That is why the clarity will subtly enhance.
Actually, it came through trying to express it, you know, I've been trying to write something down. And only when you try to write something down, you realize that actually it's not so clear after all.
It will become clear.
He's talking a lot of Sanskrit and talking a lot about karma.
The Bhashya Pata and made the whole title of it brilliant. Excellent. You cannot find it will clear the head like anything. And there again, he gave, see, before he uttered the Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashyapar, because what a Sikshavalli? Sikshavalli Sambha. Nothing much. Okay, there is Bhashyam. Sikshavalli talks about it all, makes your mind subtle. Listening to the Bhashyam, listening to things that are presented there, Sikshavalli, nothing to do with Moksha Jnanam. A lot of these things. Mahatma Deva, and all those things. They talk about discipline, makes your mind subtle. But then, Brahmanandavalli is excellent. Brilliant. That's good. Brahma vidabhnoti param tadesha abhyukta satyam ya. That portion, the few sentences, my God, Swamiji want to give separate talks. Actually, those separately he gave for some 10, 11, I think, talks on that. That is what I think I have given you, all of you.
Yeah, it's fun listening, but it's quite tough going, I have to say.
No, it will be okay, listen.
And he's obviously arguing and making up arguments about similar to now what Shankara is doing about theories.
He's only what Shankara says, Shankara says. Yes. So sometimes we may think, oh, we've already understood, we want to go in, hurry. Very good. See, that's why proper Shastra Shravanam will make you very, very patient. Now, first thing, oh, Swamiji, don't bore us with this thing. Suppose if we go and do it in a public class. Suppose simple class people who really are not interested in Bhashyam, who are not ready for this. See, if people are not ready for this, people may be interested in some philosophy, may be interested in some moksha, some of the word happiness, jnanam, little bit of spirituality. They understand, they like it. But if you really go and talk about it, say, oh my God, you are repeating it too many times. I am not repeating, Shankaracharya is repeating it. He is repeating it and presenting different, quoting different things. There's a Purapakshi Shankara, Siddharanti all Shankara. Yeah. Okay, there's nobody else who is as brainy as Shankara to say such questions. In his Bhashyam. No, and he is a Purapakshi. See, one may raise a question like this. One may, now then the answer should be given like this. And for the Purapakshi quotes only one verse from few verses from only from Bhagavad Gita, and then Siddhanti quotes one verse from few verses from Bhagavad Gita, and also from Upanishad. and to make it clear. So when you go to 11th verse, see, going to 11th verse means not simply jumping from 10th verse to 11th verse. You are very clear. You are very, very clear. So when you go to 11th verse, the mind becomes subtle. The gross minds become subtle. It is ready to listen to the Swarupma of the Atma. However, it is, you know, abstract. No? Dehe. It says, very abstract. But still you are ready and try to understand by your eyes what it is. What does it mean? No? You're being more focused, is expressed by this external physical behavior of widening of your eyes. You listen to the teacher with Shraddha, with the more commitment, with the more focused attention, and so clearer the teaching will be, you know, the teaching will enter. Will go and go above. That is it in place. No? That's why it is confirming. It is reassuring. Consolidating, really, the things. So, Shankara does it. And the same way, Shankaracharya Prasadanandan, he has to refute many schools. Satyamya Manantam Brahmakam. Why? Because he has to refute other schools of thought within the Vaidikas. Within, no, among the Vaidikas. Yes, Ramanujacharya, he's a great Acharya. He has a lot of other good things. But with reference to the Visishta Advaitam, he has to refute that idea. And then you have this Advaita Acharya, Madhva Acharya, and the duality has to be, I am different from Bhagavan, but different from the whole. And we have to say Shankaracharya also accepts duality, but according to him, it doesn't deny the duality, but duality is not absolutely real, it's relatively real. It doesn't deny the absolute. Like, we can't deny our own perception of sunlight, sun rising in the east. We don't deny our perception, but we know the fact behind it. We know it is a perceptual reality, really speaking, and doesn't rise. We know that, the fact behind it. Like this, Shankaracharya does not deny the duality, but he establishes what is absolutely real, etc., etc. Then first, Advaita Acharya, the Advaita Acharya, then all the schools, other people, and then Sankhyas, Vaisheshikas, who say Jivas are many, all down, none, things. And then, suppose if there's logic, and from the grounds, you have to refute them. And there are people, Swamiji also takes the so-called modern, the popular people, who are very good people. See, nobody is considered to be bad or anything. It is for the person who really, it is not for condemning, not for hurting. Again, it's a problem. Not for hurting. We do not intend to hurt anybody. In fact, we are the most ahimsa people. You can't hurt anybody. The same way, when you take up the job of clearing the head, making the person see what exactly is, we have to say where people are wrong. He also talks about, suppose, now if you see that Krishna is the only consciousness, only Godhead, the Supreme Godhead reality, and then you will ever be the eternal servitor of the Lord. Okay, then you have to point out. It's not that we are against other people who have different ideas. We don't want to condemn them, we don't want to blame, we don't want to find fault, we don't want to really hurt them. We appreciate a lot of good things done by those people, how they contribute for the social, etc. You can say that. That's a different, but the truth is that you have to say. The physics professor is a very good person, nice teacher, he's very kind, he's very loving to his physics professor, he's very loving to his students. He gives them biscuits and tea when they go to see him, doesn't hate them, doesn't, you know, he's very affectionate. He feeds them also with the food. Okay, but he doesn't say he is equal to him, she's quiet. And all the goodness, and suppose we go and say, he's a very good person, the teacher is very good, all that he's doing is good, but only this teaching is wrong. I wonder if he's a professor, because how can he say he's not equal to MC Square, how can he say that? Some theory, not related to some theory he teaches wrongly. And I have to say, the people who are emotionally involved with the professor, I enjoyed his tea, enjoyed his biscuits, I enjoyed his kindness, he was very loving. When I had other problems, he helped me. So, you cannot say what he's teaching is wrong.
This is called emotional entanglement, involvement. That is why you shouldn't get emotionally blackmailed. When you really want to see the truth, then you have to see the truth correctly. That is why hurting is different from pointing out where people are wrong. Okay, like that. See, when you really go to Shankaracharya is not against all this school of the Vaisheshikas or Sankhya, other people. They like them, my God, amazing. The philosopher, every person of any school of thought is highly given to high thinking. Okay, excellent work they have done, but still, you have to see the limitations in their capacity. And he has to refute them where they are wrong. I have to say them. Doesn't mean he was against all the school, he was fought. People think, when you point out where we are wrong, people think immediately he is against all of them. That's not true. So here, Swamiji takes, you know, all the so-called modern people also, one point, he'll refute all of them, and he'll come to the so-called the modern people who, you know, that's why he said that that's very clear, very good, isn't it? Maybe when I come there, we'll do a morning class, 6 o'clock class.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Like last time. Last time I was sitting in India. Last time I was not okay. I was all the time I was in India. How about the thing I wouldn't have heard? Because, oh, Pradesha Pancharatnam, Swamiji. I heard him many times, so I wasn't listening. In between I was listening. But this time, Satyamantam Brahma will pray from the beginning. I'll sit with you. We'll listen. It's okay? We'll do it. So, Ken?
Yeah. Swamiji, I have a question. Isn't it even in Advaita, though we believe in not monism, but in one eternal consciousness, for the sake of understanding and for the sake of growing within, you go up to a point believing that your God is, you know, you do puja, you do bhakti, you are a bhakti yoga, you are a karma yoga, but eventually when you get to that point, then it is the pramana, then everything is left behind, and it is the state of turiya where everything else dissolves.
That's there. See, what I'm saying, Advaita. See, Advaitam is non-duality,
yes.
It's a fact.
Yes.
And that is the culmination of
yes.
all the prayers and worship
that's
and all the effort, all the karma, all the jnana actually. That's a different thing.
Yes.
But here we don't deny the importance of worship, importance
yeah.
of prayer, and importance of culture forms.
Sure.
In fact, I tell everywhere I go, I was going to all the temples just to talk to people. If one person is available next to me, I just talking to them. You know how important it is to preserve the cultural forms and the rituals. I'll talk to them because they're all important. They all play their role as disciplines. They're all needed. Their duality is, duality is not denied at all by Shankaracharya. Okay?
No,
duality will accept, we want it. See, Shankaracharya is the only person who has composed stotras and different deities. So I'm teaching clean Advaita Madhasa, I'm also teaching stotras by Shankaracharya. Now, different deities, Devi stotras, Ganapati stotras, Shiva stotram, Vishnu stotram, I have how many stotras? Many stotras, it's a big book of stotras. I had a teaching in South. This morning I had a class. Ardaji loves those stotras. He liked it very much. He said, it's worth coming just for the sake of listening to this, he said. Now, all these stotras are very beautiful and then there's a prayer, everything is there. That is true. They're all part of it. So, Advaitam is the vision, culmination, that's a different thing. But here we don't deny it. But still, people who say that finally, who refute, no, there's no non-duality. And we don't use the word monism, Amma. Monism.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, it is non-duality. Because when you say monism, it's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, so that's what I wanted to reaffirm, that we grow in duality and then ultimate culmination.
See, duality, we always have duality.
Yes.
Duality is accepted. But duality which is looked upon as real will be absolutely real.
Yes.
It will be understood as relative reality. That's all.
And then I'm clear.
That's all. Just the shift in understanding. What is accepted now as absolutely real will be looked at as relatively real. Because you see what is absolutely real. That's all. The shift in understanding is the conversion here. We don't deny anything here.
But I think this is where quite a lot of sort of confusion lies, is that people believe that the very practices, the rituals, the puja, etc., per se, will culminate of their own, without any other thing, in the vision of the reality. And instead of just seeing them as only preparing the mind, making it fit for the knowledge, which is only available through Shastra. Is that?
No. The problem is, people who are so involved there, see, it's very important to be involved in this culture form, how it's nice, good.
Yeah.
But see, once the Purusharth Nischaya is there, then there's no problem. When the Purusharth Nischaya is without Purusharth Nischaya, without the end being clear, without the means for the end being jnana is being clear, then they are not even spiritual, only religious. They don't want to achieve anything big. For them, performing rituals, doing pujas, or praying, or worshipping, is being religious, just to keep them going, because it makes them feel good about being religious. It makes them feel good. No, they feel good. Then, second thing, it's sort of security. They feel secure. It's sort of security. It's not moksha.
Mm-hmm.
It's not moksha. Whether going to the church, or doing namas, or going to the temple, doing pujas, without the end, just they're religious. And they're religious, at least being religious is good. It's better to be religious than without being non-religious. Being religious is good. Better to be religious than, but again, being religious shouldn't convert one into fanatic. It's a problem. It's a problem. That's a different problem. But what I'm saying, that there's no Purushartha Nischaya. There's no Purushartha Nischaya. Purushartha Nischaya is there, the worship, the prayer, the any karma you do, attitude towards things, everything is perfect. Everything will be contributive. Everything will be expanding. Will be pave way for, make way conducive for what you really need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the Purushartha Nischaya which changes the perspective. It's very important. Without Purushartha Nischaya, what is there? What is the end? And there's no way of getting rid of the complexes and differences, and then how will you account? How will you accept? You can't manage your elation rejection at all. Without Purushartha Nischaya, there is no spirituality. Without being spiritual, I told you this morning in the class actually, merely being religious does not take one anywhere. But it is some artha. It comes under the artha pursuit. It makes you feel secure. Feel secure. There's no real security. It makes you feel secure. So I said, spiritual person is definitely religious and ethical. Once he is religious, means he is worshipful, he is prayerful. There's dvaitam. Akkord dvaitam is very much there. All these things should culminate in Advaitam, that's all.
It's quite true. Sometimes in class you feel it's very repetitive. But I'm only speaking of my experience. And then when you go away, you've already lost so much that thank God it was repeated that something stays there.
Mm-hmm.
This Shastra style is good. I'm happy that I could do this. Bhashyam for you. In fact, it would be very nice. I feel like explaining, stopping every place, and then I explain it, but it will take very long. That's why I really didn't take. It will take very, very long. I just stop, and then I just do certain things. And as I read it, all of you have the paper, and if I read it out, and then if it come off first, it will be proper. You also understand something, the long component I can explain. You see that, you see how Mahatam is repeated. Shankaracharya repeats it.
Yes.
One thing will hold on and will repeat.
And also this Bhuma Vidya discussed, Chandogyam section. All those things, his job is to refute other schools of thought. Refuting other schools of thought to make you see the oneness of reality. Because just not for belittling others, making your mind subtle. In fact, Shadanga is actually for making the mind subtle. The gross mind has to become. The Tarka Shastra, very boring. Not very boring, very interesting. And that makes the mind subtle. Of all the sciences you study in school, languages will take you away from reality, just with all literature. Things, okay, language, okay, grammar, things are okay. Otherwise, what is so romantic in such a funny? Then if we go to, it makes the mind, no? Other things, history and geography, what do they do? Go to physics. Mind becomes subtle. Understanding physics, understanding mathematics, makes the mind subtle. All discipline. It's very good, isn't it? Similarly here also, all these things, arguments presented, he's not interested in making you read the whole Bhagavad Gita, understand the second chapter. By the time you finish the second chapter, the whole Gita becomes understood. So understood. Then, okay, for which mind has become subtle. Let's say so many arguments are presented. Now you will remember all this. Chatapata Brahmana, you will remember now. You will remember what the Pravrajanaha, the Brahmanaha. What does he do? Why does he do it? All these things you'll remember. Things will come to your mind.
You ready for one more?
What?
Question.
Yeah.
On this subject.
Any number of questions.
One more on this subject. There is a view that if the reality is, if the ultimate reality is Advaita, then all the Dvaita practices are somehow wrong. Just cut them out and go straight for Nirguna Brahman. These, you know, Rama, etc., all that business is all distractions. It's getting in the way. It's wrong because actually that is duality and the truth is Advaita. Mm-hmm. So?
No. All these things are, just now I said, non-duality or the oneness of the reality is something to be understood, for which mind needs to become subtle. The mind is gross. Though subtlest of the manifestations, okay, mind is the subtlest of the manifestations, the highest form of manifestation, still the mind is gross. The mind is incapable of appreciating, comprehending subtle facts. It needs to become disciplined and subtle. That is what is meant by the preparedness. To grasp, to understand the abstract subtle facts, and especially to understand, to comprehend what exactly is consciousness, which is the very existence of the thought, the knowledge of the, knowledge of the knowledge. Subtlest of the substance, subtlest substance is consciousness. Essence, the subtlest essence of everything is consciousness. And that is the very truth of the mind. So understanding what it is the understanding subtlest thing, okay, abstract thing, of which mind has to really become very subtle. Mind being capable of understanding that is mind becoming subtle. Understanding subtler facts require subtler mind, for which it needs to be disciplined and for which you have to go with the current. Similarly, these are all the things which are made, the cultural forms, the worships, which involves, because within the realm of duality, you have to discover the truth of non-duality. anywhere outside, because the reality is not outside of this. That is why you need this. You have to use this. Where the cause is, where the effect is, there only you have to see the cause. If you have to see the wood, you have to see, you can't see, suppose if you have seen the door there, you have to discover what the wood is. Okay? And you can't go on because what this is the cause, is the effect. You can't see the wood outside of the door or away from the door. You have to see there only. You have within the plurality only, you have to discover the non-duality. Therefore, all that you use, these things, had to be used as means. How they should be used? That is why Shastra talks about the Purushat Nishcha is there, and you understand the where it falls, where it should be there. Suppose the role of worship, the role of prayer, different forms, cultural forms, the rituals, activities, everything, you understand their place in preparing you, making the mind subtle to grasp the abstract thing. So it's all important. You can just say everything. If there's a person, your mind is already ready for subtler. My mind is much subtler because of the, then you don't need to. You are not really expected to worship and pray and all these things. You can just sit, close your eyes, be all the time meditation. Okay, and have it. That's why in the culture we see there are many Mahatmas who are discussed. See, in India, many Mahatmas are discussed. And there are many Mahatmas who don't have a teacher, don't have a Shastram, wouldn't have gone to school, anything. Yeah. That have been born, until they go and sit in a cave and then they understand certain things and then they talk about it. And what they say, it is in agreement with what the Upanishads say. We say that man's wish is okay. We say something, if he blabbers something, we can also make out. Some confusion is there. He is some evolved person, some effort he has made, he has worked hard, he is somewhere still stumbling in between. He is still struggling. But he has little above. We can make out. Once in the sample of Shastram, Shastram is a Pramana. Hold the Shastram. Look everything from the standpoint of through Shastram, you see where the person is. Where the vision is okay, and the blabbering, everything can make out. And suppose somebody goes, sits in a cave, and then he says, suppose somebody goes and sits in a cave without moving around, being able to sit still is an effort, isn't it? It's an achievement. How people can sit, staying within one room, for some time is not possible for people. They need to go from one place to another place, see that tradition. So many things have to do. So restless. That shows some sort of maturity, some preparedness. And for which the person wouldn't have done anything this current janma. For such readiness, one must have acquired from his past lives. Shastram does accept it. So one must have worked hard to pick up the thread wherever one would have left it. That we can't really see from the self what he is now. But generally, you don't need to worry about anything. Whoever has come, however the person is, generally, in Bhagavad, we have the Shastram, whoever you are, some punyam, something, whatever it is, the Shastram helps. I told you the very word Shastram is beautiful.
He was only 33 years old. Mm-hmm. So it does account, there must have been Punarjanam there, as you said, Swamiji. There must have been an accumulation from past.
No. See, hard work. Any inclination is got to do with the past. But any inclination towards anything is have to do with the past.
Yes.
Okay, even here we hear many genius. We talk about the genius, the people of.
Mm-hmm.
I said you're a genius. I can say any inclination and any special skill in doing anything, you have to do with the past, the singing and doing anything. Even you play and? Yeah, so all the thing, anything, you have, anything, any special interest is something to do with the past. You pick up from the past. Satya. Even liking for people, something to do with the past. You know that?
what they call chemistry is also from the past, isn't it?
Everything is in the past.
Yes.
Continuity of what it was.
Yes.
And the avatar means what? Avatara avatarati. Say again through dhatu. Again tarati verb and ava is a prefix. Avataranam avatarati avataraha. No. We say that avataraha masculine, avataranam neuter. Avatarati is the verb. Avatarati gets down, lands, descends, comes down. That is the meaning of avataranam, avatarati, avataraha. And we will talk about incarnation. What big incarnation? In fact, all of us avataranam only. All of us have avatar. We all have descended actually. Avatar. But what I'm saying, rebirth. But when you say punarjanma, is otherwise put as avataraha. We talk about the birth of Mahatmas, we say avatara. We don't talk about ordinary people, rebirth. Not incarnation, okay? No, we say that reincarnation. There's no incarnation, okay? The rebirth. And then we say, then again, there is some karma, without the karma phala, no birth is possible. Without the karma phala means there is a cause behind any happening. So, being born is a cause, is some happening. The birth is happening of something. Birth of something is a happening. The birth of something is happening, birth of something is a happening. And for that happening, there must be a cause. Without the cause, nothing can happen. And what is the cause? We have to see, there is a karma phalam. What is karma phalam? Sanchite kaschit bhagaha, which is prarabdha. Prarabdham karma phalam is the cause. All of us are prarabdha, we are born. So, Navatara will say, they don't have karma phalam. But they are born of the karma phalam. Born as a result of the karmas, karma in the form of prayer by majority of the society people. Many people pray. As a result of the prayer of many people and the order itself, okay, provides something, some help. As a result of something which comes from avatara. That's why through Purana they help you to understand. Okay, we have Ramayana and there was Ravana. He was, okay, we have this Purana, the Bhagavata Purana. And there we have to talk about Krishna or Rama. Rama was born. Rama is not a, Krishna was born, Rama was born. And why were they born? Because there were, suppose this Ravana was there, and Ravana and Bittan of other demons were there. Now say here Hiranyakashipu and Bittan of other, not Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa and other Bittan of other demons were there. And then after then they were highly, and when you say the demons, highly unruly people, highly, you know, disastrous people, and then other means, and it is there, you know, this we had to manage somewhere. And the people who become the victims of the Adharma, because of their papa karma, then they start praying. Seek help. Pray, then die for Bhagavan's grace. Ah, Bhagavan feels okay. You know, suffered enough because the papa karma now comes. Let the atrocity be destroyed. Then Avatara comes. Then Rama is born, and even Rama shows people, see, even though I am born here, Rama, and see, there is a karma, like because Karapala, even I also had to go through some suffering. Yeah. He has to show, then he at last he goes and Satyameva Jayate, Dharma prevails always, fights against Ravana and kills him. Krishna comes, he plans to kill Kamsa, he kills. Avatar, the purpose of Avatara is served. Like that, we have all these things. Karma phalam. So there is swakiya phalam, karma phalam va, atava anesham karma phalam va. How can you be born to exhaust the karma phalam of others? You are not born to exhaust the karma phalam. Okay? You are born as a phalam
as a punyapalam of others, for them to enjoy some punyapalam, sometimes to the birth takes place. And it happens within the order. That is avatara. All Puranas stuck very high, very interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice stories.
Why is it always a female? Oh, sorry, a male.
No, there are females. There are, now, have you heard of Chandipat, Devi Mahavyam?
Mm-hmm.
We do have Devi.
Okay. So they do exist.
Mm. Okay. What? I mean, exist means what? I mean, as the stories?
Yeah, yeah. They,
yeah, we do have. So Devi comes as first Kali to destroy the Madhukaitaba, and she comes as, no, Salakshmi to destroy the Mahishasura and his armies.
Okay.
He comes as Saraswati, much subtler, the people, the demons, ignorance, Valanan, and she comes as Saraswati, just like Shubha, Nishubha, and all of them, many demons. Again, not very symbolic,
exactly,
subtle,
yeah.
Very profound. Now Saraswati comes and fights with the sword or what?
Mm.
A lot of things, but very beautiful, I tell you, amazing, amazing. To present such an abstract thing in a gross story form. You personify every thought, jealousy, hatred, adhyasa, adhyarapa, all of them is very frightening women. And then a beautiful lady comes. And who's the hero? And she comes and just stabs, kills. It's just wonderful. We have to present it highly imaginative and at the same time vision with vision. Present abstract things in gross form to make people understand simple. Very nice, isn't it? I stopped doing all this katha kalakshep if I used to. I stopped doing all this. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat.